Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design. I'm your host, Sarah Chaffee. On today's episode, we'll be talking to paleoentomologist Gunter Beckley about the Cambrian explosion. Welcome to the show, Dr. Beckley.
Hi, Sarah. Nice to be here again.
Dr. Beckley is a paleoentomologist who specializes in the fossil history and systematics of insects, especially dragonflies, the most diverse group of animals. He served as a curator for amber and fossil insects in the Department of Paleontology at the State Museum of Natural History in Stuttgart, Germany, and he is a senior fellow with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Dr. Beckley, can you explain in a few words what the Cambrian explosion was and why it posed a challenge for evolution?
Sure. Well, the Cambrian explosion is the single most dramatic event in the history of life. It happened about 520 million years ago in the Cambrian period, and it has been called in publications Evolution's Big Bang or Darwin's Dilemma. And that is mainly because the fossil record of anatomically sophisticated animals, that is, animals with distinctive body plans, appears abruptly in the geologic column. And that means that 21 of the 28 bilaterian animal phyla appear without apparent precursors. So there is no discernible evidence of simpler putative ancestral forms in the earlier Precambrian layers below. And there are several biological novelties in the Cambrian explosion, like active locomotion by crawling, walking, swimming, burrowing into the sediment. There's predation, first time predation with sophisticated mouth parts. There are the first hard exoskeletons, shells, carapaces as protection. There are the first efficient eyes and central nervous systems. And correlated with this, of course, the first complex behaviors such as rut care. And the Cambrian explosion poses a challenge for Darwinian evolution because it contradicts several of the predictions of neo-Darwinism. And these would be, for example, the sudden appearance of novel animal forms is a discontinuity, and this contradicts the Darwinian prediction of gradualism. Second would be the absence of transitional fossils connecting the Cambrian animals to Precambrian forms. That is contradicting the prediction of common ancestry with modification. And also the appearance out of thin air of these novel body plans creates a waiting time problem because the geological time that is available is too short to accommodate the required genetic changes. And finally, we have totally a reversal of the Darwinian expectation. Darwinian theory would expect a gradual bottom-up pattern where small incremental changes accumulate to larger differences. And so you would first have species differences and then genera differences and then family differences and only at the end differences on the phylum level. And what we see in the fossil record is the exact opposite. We first have large-scale differences, which is called disparity, and only later we have variation on those themes, which is called diversity. So that is basically what the Cambrian explosion is and why it is a problem for Darwinism.
So it sounds like this is pretty much the opposite of a gradual, smooth transition.
Right.
This idea of a relatively rapid, explosive appearance of many new animal phyla generally accepted among paleontologists, or is it just something a minority of them would argue for?
Well, there are certainly some who would like to have this phenomenon disappear, but the answer is definitely yes. It is accepted among paleontologists, especially it is accepted among all paleontologists who actually work on Cambrian fossils. They all embrace the Cambrian explosion and its abruptness. That would be people like Graham Budd, Simon Conway Morris, Douglas Irwin, James Valentine, Charles Marshall, Yao-Ping Cai, etc. They all know that this is real. And most experts also agree that the majority of the Cambrian animal phyla lack putative fossil ancestors in the preceding Ediacaran biota. Therefore, all specialists consider the Cambrian explosion as real, as a real phenomenon that requires an explanation. There have been many explanations suggested, like the oxygen theory and the cancer theory and the homeobox gene duplication theory, the bioturbation theory, and you name it. But they all fail to explain the origin of novel body plans. So the only scientist who tried to trivialize the Cambrian explosion and deny its abruptness have been a few anti-intelligent design activists who directly responded to Stephen C. Meyer's book, Doubt and Stout. Who did not actually work on Cambrian fossils, and that would be people like Nick Matzke, who made a review of Meyer's book, P. Seth Meyers, who claimed that the Cambrian explosion took 50 million years, which is nonsense. He just equated the Cambrian explosion with the Cambrian period. And most dramatically, Donald Prothero, who is a vertebrate paleontologist, and in his review of Stephen Meyer's book, he claimed the Cambrian explosion took 80 million years because he just added the Ediacaran and the Cambrian period together. And that is not only showing some incompetence in the relevant field, but it's also, especially in the case of Donald Prothero, showing an appalling degree of dishonesty, because he claimed in his review, and I quote directly, paleontologists are gradually abandoning the misleading and outdated term Cambrian explosion for a more accurate one, Cambrian slow fuse. So this is a factual claim. It's a claim about what is going on in the scientific community. And today I made the fun and simply checked this on Google. And I didn't check it on Google main search engine, but on Google Scholar, where you only search scientific technical papers. And I searched for this term Cambrian slow fuse, which allegedly is replacing the Cambrian explosion among scientists. I found a single match. And that is happens to be Prothero's review of Meyer's book. And I found 12,900 matches for Cambrian explosion, of which 4,500 matches are alone in the 5 years since Darwin's Doubt was published. So this is simply, one has to say it clearly, it's a lie. So these are the people who deny the Cambrian explosion, but the real specialists, they all affirm it.
Wow. Sounds like paleontologists can't easily square Darwin's predictions with their research. So Darwin suggested that the abrupt appearance in the fossil record might just have been due to the fossil record being so incomplete. Others have offered variations on this explanation since his time. Is that still a live possibility, given all we have learned about the fossil record since Darwin's time?
No, this possibility was first proposed by Darwin himself, but it's not used by modern experts of the Cambrian explosion, but again, only by intelligent design critics like Matzke and Myers and Prothero. So this so-called artifact hypothesis has been thoroughly refuted in Stephen Meyer's book, but it has become even more dubious by a recent discovery published by Dornbos et al. 2016, and they discovered Burgess Shale-type deposits of the Ediacaran of Mongolia. So that's pre-Cambrian, but it's the same type of preservation as the Burgess Shale, and what you find in these layers is just algae. And no animals at all. And the same is true for the so-called Lambian Formation in southern China, where you only find algae and no animal fossils, even though the preservation would allow this. So we know that these expected animal precursors are not absent because there are no suitable sediments, but because they weren't around at this time.
So it sounds like to believe the fossil record is simply incomplete as an explanation for the Cambrian explosion is unreasonable and perhaps even unscientific.
Yes.
What about the dating of this event and its abruptness? As new fossil evidence and techniques have emerged, has the picture of the Cambrian explosion become more abrupt or not?
It certainly has become somewhat more acute with the discovery of older Cambrian localities like Changyang in China and Sirius Passet in Greenland, which all predate the famous Burgess Shale for 10 to 15 million years, but already have the same fauna. And most experts basically agree that the Cambrian explosion took less than 20 million years. It happened about 537 to 580 million years ago, and that there was a main pulse of this event, which lasted about 10 million years. And all discoveries that might have seemed to extend the Cambrian explosion into the Ediacaran were later reputed as misinterpreted evidence. And maybe it's also important to note that this famous Burgess Shale is not documenting the Cambrian explosion itself, but rather the results of the Cambrian explosion.
It sounds like the problem just keeps getting worse.
It does.
So some say the issue of this sudden appearance of the new animal phyla in the Cambrian is a pseudo-problem, because the phylum category is arbitrary. What do you make of this argument?
Now, it's in a way true that the phylum category in Linnaean taxonomy is an arbitrary thing, but this is completely irrelevant because you just have to replace the term phylum with body plan, and then the thrust of the original contention is preserved. So it's a red herring, basically. And a related argument is the claim, again, by Nick Matzke and Peter Myers, that cladistics and the distinction between stem groups and crown groups could mitigate the problem. And this fails, one, for the same reason. It's just a definitional thing, and it also fails because most Cambrian alleged stem group representatives, they are not primitive or more similar to each other. They are as sophisticated and as complex as the modern phyla and very similar to the modern relatives. So it's not like things like this simple word plays could solve the problem.
Yeah, this sounds like, you know, a rose by any other name. You can call it a phyla or you can call it something else.
Yes, it does make a difference.
So some critics claim that the so-called small shelly fauna prove a gradual transition. What are the small shelly fauna and what do you make of this argument?
Now, the small shelly fauna is tiny microscopic fossils. Mostly they are fragments of animal spines and parts of shells and so on. And they have been suggested as ancestors of the Cambrian phyla. But the problem is that it's mostly overlooked in this discussion that there are two different types of small shelly fauna. There's an Ediacaran shelly fauna, which is restricted to 549 to 538 million years ago. And There is a brief overlap with the real Cambrian small shelly fauna, but there is no continuity. They're totally different organisms. The Ediacaran shelly fauna are not bilaterian animals. They are mostly of cnidarian relationship, animals like Cludina or Cynotubulitis or Sarina or Namacalanthus. Sometimes they have been considered as worms, but this could be refuted in the meantime, and they are cnidarian. And what we find in the Cambrian, the small shelly fauna Sensostricta, that is nothing else than fragments of the Cambrian phyla. It maybe extends the duration of the Cambrian explosion for a few million years, but it doesn't do anything to solve the problem. So it's not precursors of the Cambrian bilaterian animals.
So another non-starter. This seems to be a trend.
Yes, maybe.
Other critics claim the same for trace fossils. Is there a hidden transition among trace fossils?
It has been claimed that there is, but actually there is not, but that is quite recent finding. So what people claim is that there's a gradual increase in trace fossil complexity from the Ediacaran to the lower Cambrian, and that is evidence for evolution and origin of these Cambrian animals. But the problem is, again, that there are two different trace fossil faunas. The Ediacaran ones are very simple, and they are only horizontal on the surface of the seafloor. And the Cambrian ones are more diverse, more complex, and extending deep into the sediment. Therefore, it's also called the Cambrian substrate revolution or the agronomic revolution. And for some time, it could have been a viable argument to say these Ediacaran traces, these more simpler traces, could be ancestors of the Cambrian phyla, but then came a groundbreaking new study by Mariotti et al. In 2016, and they have shown in experiments by shaking up bacterial microbial mats, which were typical for the Ediacara and biota, that all these kinds of Ediacaran traces, with one exception, can simply be reproduced by shaking up, stirring up these microbial mats, so they are artifacts. They're not really traces of animals. And the only exceptions are tubular fossils like Cludina, Chondrotubus, Vutubus, Gauia, Shania, and so on. And they could be shown to be all related to each other. They have a skeleton of stacked funnel-shaped or ring-like sclerites. They are not burrowing worms, but sessile cnidarians. And even there was quite recently, just some days ago, a paper published by researchers from Nagoya University who claimed that there are U-shaped alleged worm burrows in the Ediacaran. And I think that is personal opinion of me, that this is complete nonsense, that these alleged burrows are not traces or burrows at all, but are sediment housings of a well-known animal, Gauia shania cyclos, which is also U-shaped often. It also lives on or in the sediment. It's of similar size, of similar Ediacaran age, and was also found in the northeastern Asian region. And it's clearly related to the cnidarian Cludinia, so it's not a worm, it's not a bilaterian animal. So there is no continuity of trace fossils from the Ediacaran to the Cambrian fauna, and this doesn't help to solve the problem of the abrupt appearance.
Man, a lot of nitpicking. If gradual undirected evolution is not an adequate explanation for the pattern we see, what sort of cause do you think is an adequate explanation?
Well, first one has to realize that this abrupt pattern and this amount of new information and this very complex re-engineering that is necessary to build all these new body plans of the Cambrian animal phyla, this requires not only new genes and new proteins, it also needs new epigenetic information. And this information problem, also because of the time constraint and of this mentioned waiting time problem, cannot be solved with neo-Darwinism. Neo-Darwinism totally fails as a viable explanation for this event. And therefore, I personally think that the only possibility is that information was infused from outside of the system, and that is intelligent design as an explanation.
So it looks like this shows actually the hallmarks of design. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Beckley.
It's my pleasure.
This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.